Welcome to the Fightful Select Weekender Podcast. Today is Sunday, May 19th, 2024. I'm Steven Jensen. Hope you had a great week and a great weekend. And happy May 19th to everyone except for Kane. I still remember that storyline from back in the day when WWE was promoting the WWE Films See No Evil movie, and Kane starred in that movie. He was afraid of May 19th. They incorporated that into a storyline of WWE programming. So yeah, I've never forgotten that. Every May 19th, I think about it. And happy May 19th to everyone except for Kane today. Some quick programming notes before we get started. I'm recording most of this show on Sunday morning. I'm waiting until the GCW Sunday Night Special to actually, upload the show, because I gotta wait for that show to actually air. That's gonna be later today. GCW had a show, Most Notorious, last night that I've already watched, but I'm gonna do a whole GCW, portion of the show that I'm gonna edit in. Most of y'all might not even notice any difference, but just wanted to give y'all a heads up, just in case the audio is a little different for the GCW results. That's the reason why. So most of this audio you're hearing today is from Sunday morning, and then you'll hear the GCW stuff on Sunday night. I'll edit it all together, and you'll get this episode uploaded Sunday night after the GCW show airs. So just wanted to get that out of the way, let y'all know that before we got started. Also, programming note for this Thursday on the Spotlight, we're going to be probably having some live guests on the show. I don't know what Jeremy has planned, but it is my birthday on Wednesday. I'm taking the whole week off of my shoot job, so I'm going to a casino for a few days. I'm going tomorrow through Wednesday. We're not going to be doing any pre-recorded interviews for the Spotlight, but then Thursday, I don't have the time constraint of having to clock in for my shoot job, so that should be a fun episode. Like I said, don't know what to expect, but please join us this Thursday and every Thursday. That's 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time, youtube.com/Fightful over there on the main Fightful YouTube channel. So, gonna have fun this week. And then also, I didn't even realize that Memorial Day is this, like, not this Monday of tomorrow, but like, you know, a week from tomorrow. So I'll have that day off work too, which I'm looking forward to. So I got a nice long break for my shoot job. Very much looking forward to that. So, as I just mentioned, please join us every Thursday, but especially this Thursday, because, once again, I don't know what Jeremy has planned, but we'll definitely be talking the world of wrestling. We'll talk AEW, WWE, indies, other stuff, and yeah, we'll see who pops in on Thursday. If anybody, maybe it's just me and Jeremy hanging out, but regardless, I'm looking forward to it. That said, we'll go through the topics right now for the Weekender and jump on into it. On this edition of the Weekender, we have results for GCW, Most Notorious, and the Sunday Night Special. We got Revolver, Another Friday, MLW, Fury Road, West Coast Pro, For the Coast, Glory Pro, Ascend, NXT, Level Up. We got NXT Spoilers. I'm going to give you my WWE King and Queen of the Ring predictions. We got Ring of Honor Spoilers, and then I'm going to give you my AEW Double or Nothing predictions. So a good mix of results, spoilers, and predictions on today's show. So, without any further ado, let's jump right in. We got results for Revolver, Another Friday. This show aired on May 17th, and this is available over on Triller TV Plus. I'm not endorsed or sponsored to tell you all to go sign up for Triller TV, but I think it's a great value. I honestly do. I think you're missing out as a pro wrestling fan, really as a combat sports fan in general. They got so much content over there, but a lot of the shows that we cover on the Weekender, obviously, are airing and available on demand on Triller TV Plus. This show, once again, was from this was from Dayton, Ohio on May 17th, and these are the results. Show started off with Jon Moxley opening the show, came out to a surprise for the crowd. Obviously, Jon Moxley, the current reigning IWGP Heavyweight Champion, he comes out and basically talks about how, you know, there's no better place to be than in a wrestling ring at a wrestling show on a Friday night. Obviously, Moxley has longtime ties with Sami Callihan, who is the promoter of Revolver. So, Moxley comes out, you know, puts over the show, puts over the people that are going to be wrestling throughout the show and on the main event. And obviously, the crowd pops huge for Moxley being there. Moxley is an absolute legend for the way he continues to give back to independent professional wrestling. I'm obviously a massive Jon Moxley fan myself, and I especially appreciated his run as GCW World Champion. Even though he couldn't make it to a ton of the shows, he made it to a lot of them still. I mean, considering the guy's schedule and, He's full-time, obviously, with AEW and now also with New Japan being their champion. So nothing but love for John Moxley. Really cool for him showing up on this show. And that's not the last we're going to be seeing him either. First match of the show, we had Myron Reed over Speedball Mike Bailey. It was cool because as Mox was exiting the ring and going up the entrance ramp, he like dapped up Speedball. Obviously, they've been in a lot of the same shows, and it's cool to see the respect that they have for one another. The finish of this one between Myron Reed and Mike Bailey was Myron reversing a tornado kick attempt from Speedball. The way he reverses it, though, is really cool, and I can't do it justice, but he does like the Matrix like backbend to avoid it, and then a kip up into a cutter, which I've seen Myron do, you know, plenty of times in his matches, but it always looks super impressive, and I can't do it justice by explaining it, but a really cool Matrix into a kip up cutter by Myron Reed, followed up by a springboard 450 from the ring apron onto the inside from Myron to Bailey, 1-2-3. Myron Reed gets the win over Speedball. After that, we had the Revolver Championship on the line. Alex Shelley defends and retains over Trent Seven. The finish of this one is the ref is knocked out, and Trent Seven is fighting Rich Swann in the ring. Rich Swann, of course, allies with Alex Shelley, who's out in ringside with him. Cut a promo before the match as well. Swann is fighting Seven in the ring. Shelley uses the opportunity to hit Trent in the head with his title belt, and then hits him with his shell shock finisher. 1-2-3. A new referee actually comes in, counts the three, because the original referee is still knocked out. So that's how Alex Shelley retains. A belt shot followed up by shell shock for the three count. After the match, both Alex Shelley and Rich Swann attack Trent Seven. Speedball comes out for the save. If y'all have been following Impact Wrestling and following along with like the spoilers here on the Weekender, Trent Seven and Speedball are Speedball Mountain on the not on the indie. I don't know if they really teamed on the indies really much or at all, but they are Speedball Mountain in TNA Wrestling. They've been doing pretty well for themselves as a tag team, so that was cool to see that, you know, carrying over into Revolver. After that, we had Ace Austin with GM Miller on the outside over Braden Lee, Madman Fulton, Brett Ryan Goslin, Landon Hale, Jeffrey John, and Ricky Shane Page. The finish of this one was pretty sweet. I can't do this one justice either, but Madman Fulton does a kip-up choke slam onto Braden Lee, meaning, like, Madman was on the ground, on his back, and he goozles Braden, you know, grabs him around the neck, and does a kip-up while he's still got the choke, and nails a choke slam, like, flows right into it. Really impressive. And right after Madman hits that, Ace Austin runs up on Madman and hits him with the fold and pins him for the 1-2-3. So, really good one here. A lot of talent, obviously, in this one. And Ace Austin gets the W. After that, we had Ethan Page making his return to Revolver. He defeats Damian Chambers. Gets the win with Ego's Edge for the 3 count. Good reception for All Ego Ethan Page. And it'll be interesting seeing him more, you know, popping back up on, like, the indies. He became a big name on, you know, pre-AEW and everything, pre-Impact. And, of course, Alpha One, everything they're doing with their comeback. So, interested to see where everything goes for Ethan Page going forward. His action figure is selling really well on Ringside Collectibles, so good for him. He's a big action figure guy himself. I'll be buying that figure as well. So, you know, he's a guy who really had a big name for himself in Impact and on the indie scene. And his AEW / Ring of Honor run, definitely underwhelming in comparison to what I think, you know, the hopes most of us had were for him. You know, especially considering his success that he had had right before signing when he was teaming with Josh Alexander, you know, as the tag team to North. They were doing great work together. And Josh Alexander, of course, came out of that, became Impact World Champion. Ethan Page, I can talk about that all day, his run in AEW and Ring of Honor and how I feel like they flubbed it in different ways, but that all said, looking forward to his future once again. After that, we had Rich Swann over Jake Crist. The finish here was Alex Shelley, who was on the outside, helping out Rich Swann, similar to when Shelley was wrestling, the two of them having each other's backs. Shelley distracts the referee, This allows Ruswan to hit a dick kick, followed up by a lethal injection for the three count. After that, we had a no DQ match where Brett Oakley defeated Steve Macklin. The finish here was Macklin, the pledge is in the ring. Alpha Sigma Sigma came out during this. There was a lot of people that came out during this because it was no DQ. But Brent Oakley is down. Steve Macklin goes to hit the pledge with a steel chair and misses and winds up hitting the top rope. It bounces back and hits himself in the head. And Oakley does a schoolboy roll up to get the pinfall on Macklin. So huge win for Brent Oakley here over Macklin in the no DQ match. After that, we had Crash Jackson, Marshall Slamovich, and Zachary Wentz over the unit, the team of Jake Something, Jessica Havoc, and TJ Dunn. The finish here was the Crash Landing by Crash Jackson, which is his version of a pop-up sit-out powerbomb. Hits that onto Jake Something, which is really impressive to see, two big dudes. So Crash Landing by Crash Jackson onto Jake Something, 1, 2, 3. After the match, the unit attacks the babyface team. That is when Sammy Callahan comes out for the save, but he winds up getting hit by a chair and attacked himself. John Moxley winds up coming out and saves everybody. And obviously, as I mentioned before, him and Sammy Callahan have a long history with one another. And Mox hits a double arm DDT onto TJ Dunn. And that leads to Sammy Callahan actually firing TJ Dunn right there in the middle of the ring. After that, we had a no DQ match where one called Manders, Matthew Justice, and Mance Warner went to a no contest or a draw. Basically, what ends up happening is Mance Warner starts attacking referees with screwdrivers and like pushing them over and stuff, and it just completely gets out of hand. This is becoming a theme, obviously, for Mance Warner, not just in GCW, but everywhere, including Revolver, as seen here, doing these matches that are like no disqualification stipulations, and they're ending in draws and no contests consistently because Mance Warner is too unhinged to even get through these type of matches, you know? And this obviously just continues the whole, it's like the whole second year crew feud, mainly the Mance Warner Effie feud, but SGC is obviously all involved in this, and all three members of this match, obviously SGC affiliated, and Mance Warner, of course, previously affiliated since he's feuding with those guys now. But yeah, there's not a whole lot more to say other than Mance Warner continues to continues to no contest matches that are supposed to be set up in a way that prevents that from even being a possibility. So that's a little confusing. It's probably a little frustrating too, but that said, it's all character stuff. It's all continuing to build Mance Warner versus Effie, and with the GCW results, you know, talk plenty about that as well from this week, because Mance and Effie are building more and more towards their next big match. And the main event of the show, we had a Skewers and Staples death match. Atticus Kogar defeats Alex Colon. The finish here, I'll do my best to kind of explain most of what happens here, but Alex Colon is on the top rope. Alpha Sigma Sigma run out and they throw powder or salt or some sort of like white substance into the face of Alex Colon while he's still on the top rope. This allows an opportunity for Atticus Kogar to hit Colon in the head with some skewers and then hits him with an air raid crash through a skewer door bridge. That's the best way I can describe it. A table or a door, really, that was laid out on two chairs to make it look like a table, but there were skewers sticking out of it. Atticus hits an air raid crash off the ropes through that. Colon still kicks out at two. Atticus rolls Colon over onto his stomach, and he puts him in a camel clutch, which is actually Colon's signature submission hold. And while he's got him in the camel clutch, he just starts just stabbing him in the back of the head, the front of the head, the top of the head, just stabs him repeatedly until the referee jumps in and stops the fight. So Atticus Kogar defeats Alex Colon by referee stoppage, technical submission, to get the win in the main event. Once again, that is Revolver. Another Friday is available right now if you want to check it out over on Triller TV Plus. Moving on, got results for MLW Fury Road. This show is available for free on the MLW YouTube channel. Just search MLW Wrestling. You can watch it completely for free. This was taped on May the 11th and aired on May 18th. So yesterday at the time of this recording, these are the results. Show started off with Jake Crist over Brett Ryan Gosselin. The finish here was a reversal of the key to victory. So Gosselin goes for the key to victory. Jake Crist reverses it into the backslide and gets the 1-2-3. Jake Crist, known as having one of the best backslides in wrestling. After the match, Gosselin attacks Crist because he is upset that he lost the match. After that, we had Akira over Bobby Fish. The finish here was a roundhouse kick followed up by a death penalty by Akira to Fish for the 3 count. After that, we had Alex Kane with Mr. Thomas over A-Game. This match was very storyline-driven, where Top Dollar, AJ Francis, and his whole group, they're basically just making Alex Kane more and more paranoid about the Boomerang Fight Club, and Alex Kane winds up beating the hell out of A-Game before the bell even rings. Once the match actually starts, it's over within like less than a minute. Kane hits the mark of Kane, grabs him by the neck, chokes him out with the fade to black. The referee stops it, so he gets the technical submission. Alex Kane just continues to... they continue to build Alex Kane and the Boomerang Fight Club against MSL and, AJ Francis and everyone involved with all of that. A lot of moving pieces, a lot of players in this whole thing. After the match, as a matter of fact, Mr. Thomas and Alex Kane grabbed St. Laurent and were going to do like a double choke slam before another video package or another kind of message was aired from Francis to the Boomerang Fight Club. After that, we had a Falls Count Anywhere match where Mads Cruel Kruger defeated Matthew Justice. The finish of this one was Kruger throwing Justice off of a scaffold through some tables and then pinning him. If you're familiar with Matthew Justice's work, you know this is the kind of stuff that he has really built a career on and a following on, jumping off of stuff really high through other stuff. Dude's a madman, but Cruel tosses Justice. It was probably a 15-foot drop off of the scaffold through the tables, pins him for the 3 count. After that, we had the MLW Women's World Featherweight Championship on the line. Jhenai Kai defends her retains over Del Miexo, Zeta, and Yamashita. Miyu Yamashita, that is. The finish of this one was Kai locking in a double demon clutch. She had Zeta and Yamashita both in her version of like the belly down dragon sleeper and forces them both to tap out. So very dominant title defense for Jhenai Kai. After that, we had Matt Riddle versus Sami Callihan. They fight to a double count out. Basically, they're just brawling on the outside of the ring. Neither can answer the 10 count, and then they wind up fighting to the back. They're continuing to build towards Battle Riot. A lot of the show is building towards Battle Riot, but the two of them are having kind of like a mini feud heading into that match. In the main event of the show, we had the MLW World Heavyweight Championship on the line. Satoshi Kojima with Akamura on the outside. They are now the tag team champions as of last week. And of course, Kojima is still the heavyweight champion. He defends and retains over one called Manders. Basically, what happens at the end of this match, a lot of moments that I thought could be it from both guys. So, basically, we have this whole series. Like, Manders hits like a switch lariat where like he goes for one arm, gets ducked, and hits him with the other one on the rebound, followed up by a doctor bomb. Kojima kicks out of the doctor bomb at 2. Then, like, Manders is going for a running lariat, and Kojima blocks it with a lariat of his own and hits a cozy cutter for a 2 count. Kojima removes his elbow pad and runs at Manders to go for his own lariat, and Manders hits Kojima with a clothesline. Manders takes off his elbow pad, and Kojima winds up hitting him with a short arm lariato, gets a kick out at 2. Eventually, Kojima hits a running lariato and puts Manders away for the 3 count. After the match, Manders and Kojima hug, and Manders helps put the title belt around the waist of Kojima. Contra comes out and attacks everybody. That also includes Mads Kruger and Jhenai Kai for Contra. The whole locker room eventually winds up clearing out, and a massive brawl ends the show, once again building towards Battle Riot, which is going to be in Atlanta, Georgia, in center stage in a couple weeks. I'm still on the fence if I'm going to go or not, but there's a chance I might. I mean, it should be a fun show. I like Battle Riot as a concept in general. I love Royal Rumble-type matches. There's a lot on the line in those, so I'm looking forward to that. And if I go live, I'll definitely keep y'all in the loop. Once again, that was MLW Fury Road, and that's available for free on their YouTube channel. I've next got results for West Coast Pro. This is West Coast Pro for the Coast. Took place last night. This is from San Francisco, California, and it's available for free as well on YouTube. That's over on the West Coast Pro YouTube channel. So check that out if you want to watch the show after you hear the results here, or if you want to skip ahead, just go ahead and watch the show once again on their YouTube channel. We got the results right here. Started off with Alpha Zoe over Adam Priest. Finish here was Zoe hitting a super kick followed by a lariat. And this was like an inside-out lariat where Priest did like a full flip when Zoe hit the lariat for the 1-2-3. It's cool seeing Adam Priest out on the West Coast. He's a guy who's mainly known for his work in like Alabama, Georgia, Tennessee, more of like a Southeast guy. But he's been getting looks really all over the world lately. And I talked to him in an interview with Battle Slam, like probably, already a couple years ago now at this point, where he said one of his main goals in wrestling was to get more exposure on the West Coast. So it was good to see him out there for West Coast Pro doing his thing. One of the best in-ring wrestlers in the world, in my opinion. After that, we had Zara Zacher over Maya World. Finish here was Zacher hitting a, it's like a Fisherman Buster Michinoku driver, kind of like a combination of the two moves where she picked Maya up in like a Fisherman suplex and then dropped her down with a Michinoku driver and pinned her for the 3 count. After that, we had the West Coast Pro tag team titles on the line. We had Danny Rose and Ricky G defend and retain their championships over C4, the team of Cody Chun and Guillermo Rosas. Cody Chun was actually on AEW Collision last night, got squashed by Roosh, but nonetheless, it was cool to see him on the show. I've seen Chun live in the Atlanta area a handful of times for various promotions, so good seeing them getting more looks kind of just other places. But that said, Rose and G get the win to retain their titles. The finish here was the referee being distracted by Rose, and G used a baseball bat to get the 1-2-3. After that, we had Aaron Solo over Ishmael Vaughn. Solo gets the win after hitting a Trouble in Paradise kick, followed up by a Cradle DDT for the 1-2-3. I've talked about it before, but Aaron Solo is a guy who, like, I saw him live mainly, like, most of the stuff that I've seen him do live was all over, like, the span of one weekend when in Nashville, they had the tapings for Dojo Pro, which was a great series. A lot of great talent came out of there. A who's who of people that are signed and on television all over the place now. Solo actually won that entire tournament for that show and used that tournament win to get a Ring of Honor television title shot. So this was years ago. This was like 2019, probably. Maybe 2018, probably 2019. But Aaron Solo is a guy who's been signed to AEW pretty much since day one and still kind of like hasn't really found his place, it kind of feels like. But outside of AEW, does really well for himself pretty much everywhere. But a guy who has a lot of talent, so just want to throw that out there. If you want to check out Dojo Pro, I highly recommend finding the episodes. I think they're available on YouTube now. They were a part of Amazon Prime, but I don't think they're on Prime anymore. But there was actually a guy who did like a YouTube video pretty recently, within the last couple weeks, actually going over the series, like breaking it down and stuff. And I wish I had it in front of me, but to give the guy credit, but just search Dojo Pro on YouTube. It'll probably come right up. So check that out. Once again, Aaron Solo wins that entire tournament. After that, we had a 6-man tag match where Aramis, Rey Horus, and Taiga defeated Bestia Seis, Brian Keith, and Candice Lupus. The finish of this one was Taiga reversing Lupus. Went for a, it was kind of like a, black hole slam type move, a tiger reversed into a brain buster. It looked really impressive, though. I'm not doing that one justice. But that was a good one for the 1-2-3. After that, we had Jeff Cobb over Vinny Massaro. The finish of this one was Massaro going for a snoring elbow. And when he's going for it mid-move, Cobb cuts him off, hits him with a headbutt, follows up with a German suplex, and then a clothesline, and then a tour of the islands for the 1-2-3. Big match there for Cobb and Massaro. Massaro's, you know, one of the top guys, most, you know, over favorite people in West Coast Pro. And Jeff Cobb's been one of the top guys in the Indies and New Japan and pretty much everywhere outside of like the mainstream. You know, he's basically been like one of the top guys or a big deal everywhere outside of like AEW and WWE at this point. But still interested to see where Cobb's career goes. I was actually live in Atlanta when Cobb made an AEW appearance, helped out the Inner Circle when he was feuding against Moxley. Feels like forever ago already, but once again, Jeff Cobb over Vinny Massaro. After that, we had Mara Fuji over Titus Alexander. I know this was a dream match for Alexander. He was tweeting pre-match about how, like, this was the biggest match of his career. And Titus has some pretty big matches in his young career. Like, he himself is only, like, maybe, what, 21, 22 years old, if that. He's definitely, like, in his early 20s. But he's been a long-time West Coast Pro champion already up to this point of his career. Lost the title not too long ago. But he's the main person I probably think about when I think of West Coast Pro is Titus Alexander. And for him to say that Mara Fuji is his biggest match of his career is a big deal. And it makes sense. I mean, Mara Fuji is an absolute legend. I've talked about it plenty, but I used to drive from Nashville to St. Louis and back. And one, it took to go to Glory Pro shows. And one of the main reasons I went to the first Glory Pro show I went to was because Mara Fuji was going to be wrestling on that event. So it was really cool seeing him live. This was, once again, this was years ago, and I was figuring might be one of the last opportunities I have because he's been around for so long. You never know how long these guys are going to go for before they retire or at least slow down. But Mara Fuji's still out there killing it. Mara Fuji defeats Alexander in this match. The finish of this one, I can't remember what he calls this move, but it's so obviously he's known for his bicycle knees. He did like a almost like a Pepsi twist setup where he put Alexander's arms behind his own back and then did a bicycle knee to the head. Pinned him for the 1-2-3. Great match. This one went like 25 minutes long. It was definitely the longest match of the show. And really cool to see for both guys. After the match, they both show each other respect. And Titus talks about how big of a deal this was for him. How big of a deal it is to have Mara Fuji there. The crowd shows respect to everybody. So really cool stuff. And Alexander, even though he's currently a heel in West Coast Pro, this was like bigger than the character, if that makes sense. Because as like a as a wrestling fan, this is a big deal for Titus Alexander. So, once again, Mara Fuji gets the win. And the main event of the show, we had the West Coast Pro Heavyweight title on the line. Kevin Blackwood defends and retains over Levi Shapiro. The finish of this one was Levi hitting his claw suplex and getting a three count, but Blackwood's foot is on the ropes. Shapiro doesn't see this, so he grabs the championship. He's celebrating like he won. While he's celebrating, Kevin Blackwood runs up and hits him with a haluva kick in the corner, followed up by a brain buster, and then pins him and retains his championship. So Kevin Blackwood is still your West Coast Pro Heavyweight Champion. Once again, that is West Coast Pros for the Coast. You can watch it for free on the West Coast Pro YouTube channel. All right, moving on. We got results for Glory Pro Wrestling. This is Ascend episode 36. This is also free on Glory Pro's YouTube channel. So a lot of the shows that I've been covering today are free on each company's YouTube channel, which is really cool. You know, obviously, I'm a massive supporter of independentwrestling.tv, use code Fight Talk. I'm a massive supporter of Triller TV Plus and all these other alternate platforms, all these streaming services. There are a lot to choose from, but mainly this stuff has been airing lately on either Triller TV Plus or independentwrestling.tv for the most part. You got High Spots, you got other distributors, but there's a lot of these companies now that are just airing them themselves, which as a consumer, I appreciate as far as like not having to pay for the shows. So the free YouTube shows are welcome as far as I'm concerned. Kind of got to go all over the place to, you know, seek them out. And some of these shows, some of these companies are doing them like right off their own websites. But that said, if they can do this all in-house, I mean, I have no problem with it. So once again, Glory Pro, this is completely for free, Ascend episode 36. And episode 37 will air, I think, later tonight. The way that these work is, you know, Glory Pro usually uploads on Sunday nights or like Mondays, but usually Sundays lately. So I'm basically like a week late on all of these results, but they've been pre-taped and I've gone over them through the spoilers already, if that makes sense, weeks ago, if not months ago. But that said, Glory Pro episode, Glory Pro Wrestling episode 36 of Ascend. These are the results. I have three matches here. The first one is Freya the Slayer over Blair Onyx. Freya from Alaska, if you've never seen her, she's very impressive. Her and Blair, becoming big fans of both. Freya gets to win. This is actually her debut in Glory Pro Wrestling, as a matter of fact. So Freya gets to win with a thumbs up, thumbs down choke slam onto Onyx for the three count. After that, we had Moses over Storm Grayson. Moses wins this one with a top rope diving bulldog, kind of like Rick Steiner style, which I appreciate. As far as like being a big Steiner Brothers fan of their wrestling growing up, one of my favorite tag teams. The diving bulldog off the top by Moses to Storm Grayson for the 1-2-3. It's a big win also for Moses, who has been getting a big push in Glory Pro. But for those of you who may not know, Storm Grayson is currently the freelance world champion. We talked about that quite a bit last week because there was the freelance rumble that Kylie Rae won. Came down to Kylie Rae and Storm Grayson setting up a title match between the two of them at the freelance 10th anniversary show coming up. But Storm is a two-time freelance champion, longtime champion. And not that that necessarily matters from company to company, but for people like myself who follow the greater kind of indie circuit, it's a big deal seeing like a champion in another territory and seeing, you know, how they do and who may beat them and stuff like that. So Moses getting the win over Storm Grayson is a big deal for at least to me, given how Storm's been presented in other companies, especially freelance. But once again, Moses gets the win with that one. After that, we had the main event of the show, the Crown of Glory Championship, which is the World Heavyweight Championship of Glory Pro. Warhorse Jake Parnell defends and retains over KLD. Throughout the match, Warhorse has been working the left arm of KLD. Towards the end, KLD is going for a big move to try to put away Jake. And Jake just punches the arm of KLD and then hits him with kind of like a Pepsi twist, like a lariat leg sweep, and then floats right into a crossface. And the combination of, you know, the arm being trapped and the crossface itself is just too much, and KLD eventually has to tap out. So Warhorse retains the title over Kevin Lee Davidson in the main event of Ascend episode 36. And after the match, they hug one another. The two of them have a long history with one another as well. I mentioned going to the Glory Pro shows and seeing guys like Mara Fuji years ago. Those same shows, I was seeing young Kevin Lee Davidson, like before he was really like a behind the scenes guy for Glory Pro, which he no longer is. I don't know if he's back as like one of the people like booking and helping out, but for a long time it was just Danny Adams, aka Dan the Dad, along with KLD. And there was a whole situation that led to that. You all can do your own research, but Michael Elgin founded this company, and then if you know the history there, he was not a part of it for very long due to circumstances. And Danny Adams and KLD really picked that ball up and ran with it. And Danny continues to do that. And it's great to see KLD performing on the show. They're guys who mean a lot to that St. Louis / like Alton, Illinois area that they run a lot of these shows out of, like St. Louis, Missouri / Alton, Illinois area. So yeah, really cool here to see these guys who, I mean, when I first started watching Warhorse Jake Parnell, he was not Warhorse. Like, he was still trying to figure himself out. And same with a lot of these guys. So it's been cool to see their progressions over the years and to see a title match between two guys like that. And Warhorse, longtime IWTV champion, the longest reigning IWTV champion of all time. Great to see him kind of like have this career resurgence with this kind of like gimmick tweak that he's had recently, like mixing in Warhorse and Jake Parnell. So once again, Warhorse Jake Parnell over KLD to retain the Crown of Glory Championship. And that, once again, is Glory Pro Wrestling episode 36 of Ascend, and it's available for free on the Glory Pro YouTube channel. All right, moving on. Got results for NXT Level Up. This is the episode that aired on May 17th. I watched it on Hulu, and there were two matches on the show as well as an interview segment. So the first match we had was Tavian Heights defeating the debuting Jasper Troy. Troy's a big dude, pretty impressive, can move around pretty well for a dude his size, and a guy who I don't think has very much experience, unless I am missing something. I don't really remember him on like the indie scene or anything, but that's pretty regular for Level Up. I mean, a lot of these guys are going to be like former collegiate and like professional athletes and stuff that are learning professional wrestling through the Performance Center and that kind of stuff, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. It's just a different way of getting into wrestling for sure, but it's working out for a lot of them as well, or at least it seems like it might. A lot of these guys have potential, and a lot of these girls have potential as well, in my opinion. First match, as I mentioned, Tavian Heights over Jasper Troy. The finish of this one was Tavian hitting a belly-to-belly suplex. It was kind of like a leaping belly-to-belly. Got some air on it. Looked really impressive, especially considering how big Troy is and how big Tavian himself is. But Tavian continues to, you know, look impressive. He's a guy who I think is benefiting greatly from the NXT Level Up kind of system, getting his reps in front of a live audience, and keeps getting better. So there was some impressive stuff in this match too. At one point, Tavian did like an overhead, like belly to belly on Detroit, where he just like tossed him over the top of his head. So really good stuff. And like I mentioned every week, I think Level Up is a really good show if you want to see the future of the WWE. There's a lot of potential on these shows. A lot of people really learning out there. Once again, we had Tavian over Troy. And then after that, we had an interview segment where Brian Lee Reese and Layla Diggs, who are going to be wrestling in the next match. Brian Lee is getting interviewed and introducing Layla Diggs, who's making her NXT Level Up debut on the show as well. Basically, Brian Lee talks about how Diggs is fast because of her track background. She's flexible because of her background as a gymnast. And both are former personal trainers, so they have that in common. Diggs talks about how she's excited to be teaming with Brian Lee because she's shy, and Brian Lee like helps that out with her and like her anxiety and stuff like that. So the two of them complement one another well. The actual match this leads into is Brian Lee Reese and Layla Diggs over Carly Brite and Kendall Gray. The finish of this one is Brian Lee hitting a round off DDT. That's really the best way I can describe it. It was like a round off right into a DDT. It looked really good. It was smooth. 1, 2, 3. Reese and Diggs get the win in Diggs' NXT Level Up debut. So once again, that's NXT Level Up, aired on May 17th, and check it out on Hulu. I think you should be checking these shows out. If you're a fan of the WWE, I think you're missing out by not at least giving these shows a chance and seeing the performers go from like no gimmicks, you know, no moveset, super generic, up into, you know, some of these guys and girls who are really making it on NXT and then making it on Raw and SmackDown. A lot of them are really starting at this level. So check it out and support NXT Level Up. All right, moving on. I actually just finished watching GCW Sunday Night Special. So I'm going to give you the results for all the GCW shows that happened over the weekend, starting with yesterday's show. We had GCW Most Notorious. This was from Harris Casino in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. This was yesterday at the time of this recording, which was May the 18th, and this is available on Triller TV Plus. Show started off with Frightmare and Hollow Wicked, the Legion of Rot. They defeated the main event team of Jay Lyon and Midas Black. We had Matt Mikowski over the Mecca. I really liked the finish of this one. Mikowski did his mouse trap, basically his like, it's like a rolling version of a cross arm breaker or an arm bar, famously done by Mighty Mouse Johnson, like really late, like last second in a title fight in the UFC. Mikowski, I talk about him all the time. One of my favorites in the game right now. Love the way he mixes MMA into professional wrestling. Talk a little bit more about him in the next set of results as well. After that, we had Brandon Kirk over Cole Radrick. The finish of this one was a psycho driver for the three. Both guys super over as far as like, you know, Cole's got that brass ring. He gets a shot at any GCW championship. They're alluding heavily, to him and Alec Price cashing in, so to speak, for shots at the tag titles. But I feel like Cole's still got a chance. Maybe he'll take a shot at the world title. Although Mance Warner has kind of a similar thing going on right now as well with his built-in title shot. I talk about that pretty often as well here on the show. But speaking of, by the way, while I was watching this GCW show, I was also keeping an eye on Alpha One. I'll give you the full results to their show next weekend. But while I was watching this, at the same time that Cole Roderick was wrestling over on my other screen, I was watching Cole Roderick's results that I'm going to give you here in just a second. This might sound a little confusing. But anyway, Cole was wrestling today at the same time as Alec Price. And it looked like Alec was having a banger against Stu Grayson. But that said, on yesterday's show, Brandon Kirk defeated Cole Roderick once again. A really good match, and both guys, kind of put each other over after the match as well. I'm a big fan of both of these guys, as y'all know. After that, we had Bang and Matthews, the team of August Matthews and Davey Bang, over Grim Reefer and Ruckus. We had One Called Manders over Pero. Mance Warner over Marcus Mathers. During this match, the Mathers family got involved. I believe it was Marcus's nephew, I want to say, and maybe his uncle or his dad. They got involved as well. Mance Warner eventually, attacks Marcus with the screwdriver and, gets the win over him. We had Seth DeLander along with Broski Jimmy over Cheeseburger. We had Joey Janela and Megan Bain go to a no contest. That was when Broski Jimmy and Seth DeLander came in and interfered and attacked Janela. Basically, Janela winds up cornering Matt Cardona, who is now the GM of GCW, and Cardona makes it official that at Cage of Survival, we have a Tournament of Survival and Cage of Survival coming up soon. At Cage of Survival, we're going to have Joey Janela taking on Blake Christian, his last opportunity at the GCW World title. And that same weekend, we're going to have, I think the same show actually, we're going to have Mance Warner versus Effie as well. So it's going to be a big weekend for both of those stories, and we're right back in the same spot as we were for Joey Janela's spring break. Same two matches, the same night, where my exact scenario could wind up playing out ultimately, which is crazy, which would be Joey Janela defeating Blake Christian to win the title. Earlier in the night, Effie defeats Mance Warner, but Mance still cashes in and defeats Joey Janela right after he wins and leaves as the champion. I feel like that still might happen exactly how I played it out. We'll see. Moving on, we had Zilla Fatu over Broski Jimmy. Speaking of Broski, the match right after everything I was just talking about takes place. Zilla defeats Broski with a pop-up Samoan drop, followed by a Samoan spike for the 1-2-3. After the match, John Wayne Murdoch came out and attacked Zilla, hit his thumb with the chair, and they're setting up. It's going to be coming up. They're going to be doing Zilla Fatu and Nick Gage, who made the save against John Wayne Murdoch and Reed Bentley, the Rejects. And that all led right into the main event of the show, which was Nick Gage over Tony Deppen. Gets the win with a pile driver on a bunch of open chairs for the 3 count. Moving on, we have GCW, the Sunday Night Special. This show literally just aired, so that was May the 19th. And it's also available on Thriller TV Plus. This took place out of the Mecca in New Jersey. And these were all mystery matches. There was nothing announced for this show. So, had no idea what to expect coming into it. Either did the fans, either did the wrestlers. So this is what we've got for the results. Once again, GCW Sunday Night Special on Thriller TV Plus just aired. We had Bang and Matthews over Braden Toon and Hunter Drake. I love this opening match. This is a great tag team match. Y'all know how much I love Braden and Hunter. I've interviewed both those guys fairly recently on the Spotlight with Jeremy over on the main Fightful YouTube channel, so please check that out. Those Spotlight interviews, a lot of the talent that we talk about each week right here, at some point or another, I either have interviewed or plan to interview pretty much everyone we're always talking about. That said, all four of these guys showed out big time in this match. They were hitting stuff Braden and Hunter were both hitting stuff to the outside, jumping off the rope, jumping into the crowd, into chairs. I mean, everything that they could think of to get over and stay over with this GCW crowd. Like, I know Bang and Matthews are one of the best tag teams on the independent scene. We talk about them all the time. Usually multiple sets of results every weekend here on the weekend, or for multiple companies a lot of the time. But I think all four of these guys are like the future in a lot of ways of independent wrestling and mainstream wrestling, because I think all four of these guys are going to wind up on our TV screens at some point as well. While they're still young and super, super talented. The finish of this one, by the way, was the Ride the Bus, followed up by the 450 Splash from the top rope by Davey Bang for the 1-2-3. After that, we had Cole Radrick over Mecca. The finish of this one was Radrick hitting the Little Sebastian's Curse for the 3 count. The crowd was very into Cole in this one as well, which I really like to see, especially once again, because he's got that brass ring. A lot of Cole Radrick's my favorite wrestler chants. What more can you say? Great showing. Hope that Cole once again cashes in and it matters. Right now, he's in a little mini feud actually with Mance Warner, who also has that built-in title shot that I keep bringing up. After the match, Mance Warner low blows Cole twice and he goes to hit him with a screwdriver, and Ally Catch makes the save. We are going to be getting Cole Radrick versus Mance Warner in like a couple weeks on GCW, so I'm looking forward to that. After that, we had Matt Mikowski over Akira. Mikowski gets the win with a running Shining Wizard for the 3 count. Obviously, I'm a big fan of both these guys. We're just talking about Mikowski. Akira, a KOBK guy, who is absolutely killing it in MLW especially. But everywhere he's going right now, it's a big deal to beat Akira clean, and Mikowski did just that. Even the commentary team seemed almost a little confused. They were like, wow, that's huge. Mikowski with a big win over Akira. That like kind of out of nowhere. And not really out of nowhere from the sense of like Mikowski's very over. He's a guy that JCW has been building and GCW has been starting to build as well recently. So, you know, I'm not really surprised to see a Mikowski win necessarily, but Akira, once again, because of his recent track record, the things he's been doing everywhere, you know, the buzz that Akira has right now, and for Mikowski to just like beat him clean the way that he did was a big vote of confidence, it felt like, in Mikowski from GCW, which, once again, as a Mikowski fan, I appreciate. And Akira obviously is going to be just fine. I would be surprised if Akira doesn't win the MLW World Championship if he stays there for, I don't know what his deal, or you know what I mean, I don't know how long he plans to be in MLW, but if he's going to be there long term for the next, you know, couple years, I think he very well could be a future MLW World Champion. After that, we had John Wayne Murdoch over Manders. The finish of this one was JWM hitting a top rope Deep South Destroyer, his version of a flipping Canadian Destroyer off the top rope, through a door bridge for the 3 count. After that, we had a 3-on-2 handicap match where the Kirks, Brandon and Casey Kirk, they defeat the Rich and Powerful, which was the trio of Charles Mason, Richard Holiday, and Pero. I'm a big fan of the Kirks. I love their theme song, and I love how Brandon uses the OG song and Casey uses like the more updated remix song. But, you know, as I mentioned, Brandon was very over, and he keeps getting more and more, you know, opportunities in GCW, and I'm glad that Casey is as well. I'm a big fan of both of them. They're really good in really any situation. They're great in death matches as well, so it was great to see them as a tag team, and surprising in a lot of ways, like to see them win 3-on-2 over the Rich and Powerful. But once again, as a fan, I like to see it. The finish of this one was Casey doing a dick kick to Pero, and then Brandon following up with a cutter to Pero. They both cover Pero for the 1-2-3. I suspect at some point the rest of Rich and Powerful are going to turn on Pero, because the seeds have been planted for that for a little while now, and Pero's taking L's for the team. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see a Pero face turn soon. You know, I've been a fan of Pero since his NWA days. You know, I'm here to see really anything they want to do with pretty much anyone involved with this. I'm a fan of everyone, you know, involved once again. After that, we had Jordan Oliver over Jimmy Lloyd. Before the match, Jimmy cuts a hilarious promo about how he's going to take the advice of his mentor, Matt Cardona, and he's going to make sure to have sex tonight after the match, which I just thought was so funny. I think it's hilarious how Jimmy Lloyd has, like, accepted Cardona and this whole broski thing. Like, at first he obviously resisted it, but now he's all in on the gimmick, which, Yeah, I'm a big Jimmy Lloyd fan, so I think it's pretty hilarious. The finish of this one is Jimmy trying to use his Broski internet title on Jordan. Jordan ducks it, hits a cloud cutter, 1-2-3. After that, we had Griffin McCoy over Charlie Tiger. A lot of history between the two of these guys. Former members of Young, Dumb, and Broke. And, well, Charlie Tiger, technically still a member of Young, Dumb, and Broke. It's a mouthful. Griffin McCoy, former member, and has been in a major feud, especially in JCW, with Jordan Oliver in recent years. McCoy recently defeated Oliver in kind of like a big blow-off match for their feud. And, I'm a big fan of both these guys as well. Like, I love that so many people got so many opportunities on this show that aren't like super regular in GCW that like maybe you see occasionally, or maybe they're kind of getting their first looks in the company. I really like seeing that. So anyways, Griffin McCoy gets the win after Charlie Tiger counters a couple of McCoy's moves because they know each other so well. Tiger goes for, I call it the Ode to Luigi because that's what I remember Curt Stallion always calling it, but like he goes for like a running headbutt, and McCoy grabs a ref and pulls them in between himself and Tiger, and then hits a backhand on Tiger, hits a half and half suplex, and then hits a disaster kick, and McCoy gets the pinfall victory over Tiger. And then the main event of the show, we had Nick Gage and Ruckus over the main event team of Midas Black and Jay Lyon. The finish of this one was Ruckus hitting a flying forearm onto Lyon, and then Gage following up with a choke breaker for the 1-2-3. After the match, Gage and Ruckus show respect to main event, and also Gage puts over Ruckus and says that he knows this run he's going to go on right now is going to be special, and the two of them have known each other for over a decade. So good to see two legitimate OGs of the game in there still doing their thing. So very cool. Nick Gage and Ruckus get the win in the main event over the main event. And one other thing I need to mention once again, there's heavy emphasis, and there's been a lot of like promos and stuff, and obviously on screen between Effie and Mance Warner on both of these shows leading up to their big showdown. So I can't emphasize that enough. Like I feel like their feud is about to either end or have a major twist. As I've mentioned plenty of times, I think it's very, very possible that Effie defeats Warner and then Warner defeats Joey Janela if Joey Janela defeats Blake Christian. But there's a lot of moving pieces when it comes to that, obviously, and we will see how it all plays out. Once again, all those GCW events I just mentioned, including Sunday Night Special, all available on Triller TV Plus. All right, moving on, got some spoilers. So, spoiler alert, spoiler alert. We got spoilers for WWE NXT. If you do not want spoilers for NXT, just look at the timestamps below and just skip ahead. These are going to be courtesy of Fightful's own Corey Brennan. So thank you very much to Corey for these spoilers. These are NXT spoilers for May 21st. I'm just going to go ahead and just read right through these exactly how I see them on Fightful.com. So these are from 5/21, or sorry, they are from 5/14. I apologize. They're from 5/14, but they are for 5/21 because obviously 5/21 has not happened yet. That's 2 days from now as I record this. All right, it says NXT champion, rather, Trick Williams cuts a promo. He was interrupted by Metaphor. Gallus attacked Williams during the segment, and Javon Evans attempts making the save, but he failed. Lysis King would come out for a match, comes out to the ring for a match. Mr. Stone comes out after Lexus King but doesn't speak. He points to the Tron, and Dante Chen came out to a huge pop. Dante Chen defeats Lexus King. This all goes to show what I'm talking about, the NXT level up, by the way. Multiple people I've mentioned already that really we were talking about like a year ago that are now over on the actual NXT show. So that's very cool to see. We had Jada Parker and Fallon Henley qualify for the NXT North American Women's title ladder match at NXT Battleground. They defeat Bryan Lee Reese and Thea Hale. So Joe Coffey will replace Ivar in the North American title number one contendership triple threat match. Both Coffey and Wes Lee were declared the winners. Coffey versus Lee versus Obafemi was made official for NXT Battleground. As NXT champion, sorry, NXT Tag Team Championship, Nathan Frazier and Axiom defeat Channing Stacks, Lorenzo, and Luther Crucifino. It says the OC and No Quarter Catch crew both got involved. Carmen Petrovic and Natalya defeat Shayna Baszler and Lola Vice in the main event. After the match, Lola turns on Baszler and drops her. Baszler got back up and choked her out, with Ava coming out to make the match between the two official for NXT Battleground. Baszler stated that the match would be an NXT Underground match. Some fans missed the post-match angle as they had already started leaving the venue. It says Roxanne Perez's opponent for NXT Battleground was not revealed to the live crowd on next week's show. And it says, please note that these are not complete spoilers for the taping and be cognizant of fans who do not wish to see the spoilers. So obviously, I have warned y'all multiple times, if you don't want the spoilers, to avoid these and jump around. As a matter of fact, I'm going to timestamp right now where the spoilers end so people can do just that before we move ahead. And once again, it's good to see even someone like Obafemi. He was on NXT Level Up very, very briefly and shot through the ranks and became a champion in NXT very quickly. I mean, so can't say enough good things about Level Up. I know I keep putting it over, but we should be paying attention. All right, moving on. Those were the spoilers for NXT. I'm going to give you some quick predictions for WWE King and Queen of the Ring. That pay-per-view, PLE, whatever you want to call it, is going to be taking place this upcoming Saturday, and you will not be hearing from me again until either Sunday or Monday, probably on Monday. So let me pull up the matches here. All right. We've got Becky Lynch versus Liv Morgan for the Women's Championship. I'm going to take Becky Lynch to retain in that one. We got a triple threat for the Intercontinental title. Sami Zayn defending against Chad Gable and Bronson Reed. You know, I feel like Chad Gable's eventually going to get this belt. I feel like everyone feels that way, but it'll happen in a one-on-one match if and when it does. I think this is a way for probably Sami Zayn to pin Bronson Reed and Gable not be a part of the pinfall or the submission. So I'm going to say Sami Zayn retains. We have Cody Rhodes versus Logan Paul. Cody defending the Undisputed WWE Championship. Logan Paul apparently not going to be putting the U.S. title on the line after the segment on SmackDown on Friday where he said he was not willing to put his title on the line but was willing to go against Cody. Cody still wound up accepting. Cody will become the Grand Slam champion at some point, I'd imagine, if it's something that's important to him and to the company. But right now, the important thing is Cody being the Undisputed WWE champion. So, that said, Cody definitely retains here over Logan Paul. I'm obviously very big fan of seeing this match happen. Both guys are very over. Say what you want about Logan Paul, but he's perfect for this WWE thing that he's doing. Obviously, the tie-in with Prime, and I mean, he's going to be a big part of the company, whether people like it or not. But he can go in the ring, and he's entertaining. So I'm excited to see this match, and Cody I'm definitely taking for the win. As far as King and Queen of the Ring for the tournaments, I'm going to say, as we stand right now with the brackets, I'm going to take Gunther over Jey Uso, and this is tough, because do they do Jey Uso versus Tama Tonga? I feel like that makes sense, but I have Gunther winning this whole thing. So I'm going to say Gunther over Jey Uso and Randy Orton over Tama Tonga, and then Gunther wins King of the Ring. And then we got Queen of the Ring. Right now we got Io Sky and Lyra Valkyria. I'll take Io Sky. We got Nia Jax and Bianca Belair. I will take Nia Jax. I'm going to say Nia Jax defeats Io Sky to win the whole thing. Maybe she winds up being Lyra Valkyria. Either way, I'm going to take Nia Jax. So my King of the Ring is going to be Gunther. My Queen of the Ring is going to be Nia Jax. But I'm just happy that they've put, you know, King and Queen of the Ring as an emphasis on the show. I always liked the tournament and everything growing up, and I'm looking forward to the PLE this upcoming weekend. Moving on, got spoilers for Ring of Honor. So spoiler alert. If you don't want Ring of Honor spoilers, skip ahead to the timestamps below right here on FightfulSelect.com. I'm going to read these out real quick just so I get those out there to you, and then give you my double or nothing predictions, and we'll get on out of here. So we got Ring of Honor TV taping spoilers from May 16th. These are courtesy of F4W Online. These are for upcoming episodes of Ring of Honor Honor Club. We got Zack Knight over Sebastian Wolf, Marina Shafir over Amira, The Workhorsemen, J.D. Drake and Anthony Henry, over the Spanish announced project of Serpentico and Angelico. It's great to see Anthony Henry back, by the way. He got released from AEW / Ring of Honor. There was a lot of blowback from the fans, and Tony Khan listened, which, you know, I appreciate. I'm a longtime Anthony Henry fan. I've talked about him for years and years on every platform available that I've ever really been on since I've covered independent wrestling to any degree. Anthony Henry's been one of my favorites. J.D. Drake's been one of my favorites. I love seeing those guys live at shows. Love seeing that they're doing what they're doing on television. And it's great to see the Workhorsemen back where they belong, on television, on Ring of Honor. And they should be a part of AEW on a regular basis as well, in my opinion. They're one of the best tag teams in the world. And individually, too. I think both of them are great singles performers as well. Like, there's a lot they've been doing, a lot of untapped potential still with both those guys. But nonetheless, it's great to see them back. Great to see Anthony Henry back. And the Workhorsemen get the win there. We got the ROH World Women's Championship Proving Ground match. Athena defeats Viva Van. We have Infantry, Sean Dean and Carly Bravo over Nick Comoroto and Jacoby Watts. I'll never forget, and I always appreciate it, Carly Bravo, the last time I saw him live was at a Championship District Wrestling show. So this was a while ago, and it was in Atlanta. And I had just bought some new Ken Griffey Jr. shoes. And he actually, like, called me out on them and, like, thought that they were cool. So then I appreciated that because, you know, they were new shoes. So I always appreciate him shouting that out for me. So Carly Bravo is always going to be a guy that I root for. Not just based on that. He's a great performer. I've seen him at, you know, at Battle Slam as well. I've seen him all over Atlanta. And I think that him and Sean Dean, you know, they have a really, really bright future in the wrestling business. But yeah, Carly Bravo is just a guy. I'll just never forget him giving me that compliment. I appreciated it. After that, we got Red Velvet over Kel. We had Top Flight, Darius Martin, and Dante Martin, along with Action Andretti and Lee Johnson over Tony Nese, Ari Daivari, Griff Garrison, and Cole Carter. So some solid Ring of Honor spoilers there. Looking forward to seeing what happens on Honor Club in these upcoming weeks. Marina Shafir is on a roll right now in Ring of Honor and on the Indies. We talked about her title win last week with that Mother's Milk submission. And once again, I think the Infantry and Workhorsemen have a really bright futures. All right. And moving on, the last, I'm going to do my timestamp here. The last thing we got is the predictions for AEW Double or Nothing. This show is going to be taking place next Sunday. So as I said, I will most likely be doing the podcast next Monday on Memorial Day. Because I'll have the day off work and Sunday, everyone's going to be in AEW mode. And, I mean, it's a big WWE and AEW weekend with both the big PLEs happening back-to-back. So, you know, it just makes more sense to do the weekend or next Monday. So I'm going to get my predictions out there right now for y'all for AEW Double or Nothing 2024. I'm going to say, we got Chris Jericho defending the FCW Championship against either Shibata, Hook, or Brian Keith. I'd actually love if they threw a wild card out there and Brian Keith won, but I'd imagine it's going to be Hook. And nonetheless, I'm still going to take Chris Jericho to retain. I actually think he's doing great work with this new gimmick. I'm also a lifelong Jericho mark, so I might be biased here, but I feel like even Jericho haters are actually entertained by what he's doing at the moment, whether they want to admit it or not. But you know, I think people are pleasantly surprised the way he's been able to tweak his character as of late with the whole Big Bill mentorship, the learning tree. I'm going to take Orange Cassidy over Trent Barretta. I'm really looking forward to that one, though. I like both guys a lot. I'm going to take Jon Moxley to defeat Konosuke Takeshita. This is an IWGP World Heavyweight Championship Eliminator match. So if Takeshita wins, he gets a future shot at the World Championship. But I'm still going to take Moxley. We got Adam Copeland defending the TNT Championship against Malakai Black in a barbed wire steel cage match. Jeremy brought up a pretty solid idea on Thursday on the Spotlight where if Malakai just won, where like the lights go out and then turn back on, he's outside the cage. But I also feel like that's kind of cheap and fans will reject that. I'm going to take Copeland. I just got a gut feeling Copeland's going to retain here. I do think there's going to be shenanigans for sure, though. Maybe we see Gangrel. We got the Elite. That's, of course, Okada, Jack Perry, Matt, Nick Jackson. Taking on Team AEW. That's Danielson, Cash Wheeler, Dax Harwood, and Darby Allin. Anarchy in the Arena. I'm going to take the Elite to win this one. This is just the first of many wars, I think, between the Elite and various AEW team combinations that we'll get in the upcoming months, maybe even the upcoming years, depending on how long the storyline goes on for. But I feel like the Elite's going to win this one here. I'm going to take Swerve Strickland to defend and retain the AEW World Championship over Christian Cage. I'm going to take Timeless Toni Storm to defend and retain the AEW World Women's Championship over Serena Deeb. I'm looking forward to that one. I'm a major fan of Serena Deeb, have been for a very, very long time. And I think Timeless Toni's doing the best work of her career by far right now. I'm going to take Will Ospreay to defeat Roderick Strong to become the AEW International Champion. And I'd imagine Ospreay is going to just elevate that title to whatever heights are possible with that thing. You know, I've talked many times on the spotlight about how I feel about all the what feel like mid-card championships in AEW. There's way too many of them right now. And Ospreay clearly is going to be the world champion at some point in the future for AEW. But it feels like for right now, they're going to put that international championship on him, build him with that, and see where it goes from there. But there's no doubt in my mind Will Ospreay is winning that thing over Roderick Strong. Nothing against Roderick, by the way. I think the match is going to be fantastic. And the last match I got here, which might even potentially main event the show. I kind of doubt it, but it might. Jeremy brought that up on the spotlight as well, the possibility. But we got Willow Nightingale defending the AEW TBS Championship against Mercedes Moné. My official prediction is Mercedes is going to win, but personally, I would keep it on Willow. I'm a longtime fan of Willow's. We covered Willow, you know, years back right here on this show when she was one of the major names of Beyond Wrestling. I think she's doing fantastic work in AEW. I love how over she is. I love that she continues to be herself, like, as far as, you know, what got her to the dance, she's continuing to use, like, on television. I think that her moveset is great. Her promo was great this past week. They've all been great, but this last one was especially great. And, once again, nothing against Mercedes, but I just feel like Willow she's on a roll right now, but I also think that it would be kind of a flub to have Mercedes come in after this long wait and have her lose her debut match. I just don't see that happening. So I think Stokely Hathaway and or Chris Statlander will probably turn on Willow. But my official prediction is Mercedes Moné, but I'm hoping they have major plans for Willow coming out of this. And I would be pleasantly surprised if Willow retained. So that's going to do it for this episode of the Fightful Select Weekender podcast. I've been Steven Jensen. Make sure to follow me on X at @FightTalk_. Use code FIGHTTALK at independentwrestling.tv and watch The Spotlight every Thursday morning, 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time on the main Fightful YouTube channel. As I mentioned at the top of the show, this Thursday, because I'll be taking off work, me and Jeremy are going to go long, or I don't know if long is the right word. Like, the show may be about the same amount of time, but we're not going to have a pre-recorded interview, so we'll be live for longer, if that makes sense, and we'll probably have some live guests on the show once again. Don't know what Jeremy has planned, if anything, really, but we'll see what happens on Thursday. I'm just looking forward to hanging out, talking wrestling, and not having to work right after. So that said, you know, until next weekend, enjoy a lot of professional wrestling. We got major shows coming up this week. Can't wait to hear from y'all, talk to y'all, and until next weekend, once again, enjoy some professional wrestling.